the book, The Economy of God. And so in this time today, we're going to be covering chapter 15, which is on the principle of resurrection. And before we touch the outline, I'd like to make reference to a few of the verses that are in the chapter. When our brother encouraged us to get into this book, The Economy of God, he encouraged us to take the verses by means of prayer. So as we get into this, we need to really appreciate the content of the word. So maybe let's, there's for this, the main focus will be on the third section, on the reality of resurrection. But before we get there, there's a verse that's a linking verse, and that's Hebrews 9:14. So why don't we go to that verse? That verse links what we've covered previously concerning the Lord's all-inclusive death with what we're enjoying now, which has to do with His resurrection. And that has to do with the Spirit. So let's come here to Hebrews 9:14. Let's read this verse together. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Just to make note, this crucial phrase, who offered Himself through the eternal Spirit. Okay, this is a key, because the Spirit, as the within the Lord's death, is a crucial point. Let's come to Romans 1:4, and you can see the Spirit again here in this verse, in the word the Spirit of holiness. Okay, let's read this verse together. Who was designated the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, I'd like to share more, but I think let's go through a few verses first, and then we'll go back and touch it through the outline. Romans 8:11.
Dwells in you.
He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you.
Amen.
See again the Spirit in each one of these verses.
Amen.
The Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
Amen.
One that maybe just focuses on the Lord Himself as a kind of an element is John 11:25, to realize that resurrection is not just an event.
Amen.
It has to do with, it is a person.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes into me, even if he should die, shall live. Okay. Now, this wonderful person who became the Spirit is now a supply to us in Philippians 1:19. Okay, again, now it's not Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus. Together, I know that for me, this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, and then Philippians 3:10. For I know, amen. Together, to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Yes. Oh, we need to know Him and the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
I'd like to use one last verse. It's not here in the chapter, but it's a good application. 1 Corinthians 12:3. B. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Lord, wonderful.
Jesus is
is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
So in this chapter, we're talking about the principle of resurrection. And in the previous chapter 14, it had to do with the principle of the cross. And here in this chapter was mentioned the 12 items of the old creation that were brought to an end. And in the first section of this chapter, as a kind of review, it mentioned that you have here these 12 items of the old creation. What are they? They're the fallen angelic life, the human race, or the human life, Satan, Satan's kingdom, sin, sins, the world, death, the flesh, the old man, self, and the entire old creation. So we're not going to spend a lot of time here because the burden is further in the chapter, but this was a kind of review. The point being is that this entire whole old creation was damaged. And as an issue of that, it does say in Colossians 1:20 that Christ's death was on behalf of everything. Right. Everything was affected. Right. Everything of the of this creation was affected and needed to be reconciled by Christ's redemption. Okay, so this brings in the next section, which is the all-inclusive death is in the eternal spirit. So here, we saw that all these negative things in the universe were centralized in man. They were they were hanging on man. They were with man. Yeah. So, you know, there was a damage of man's being. The human race became fallen. Man was in the kingdom of Satan. You know, he has the sin in him from Romans 7. He commits sins. He's in the world. He's under the fear of death. His body has become the flesh. Right. You know, all item after item is all centralized in this man. So how did the Lord take care of the problem? It's quite good. He let everything get caught in this dust, this ant trap. I don't know what you want to call it, or the fly paper. Anyway, humanity, yeah. And then Christ got incarnated, put on this flesh, put on man, and was crucified in the form of the serpent. So in John 1:14, we see that the Word became flesh. Flesh is not a good thing in the view of you know, the picture, but he put on flesh, but Romans 8:3 qualifies that in the likeness of the flesh of sin, which is really the form of the serpent. And as such a one, he took all these 12 items of the old creation and terminated them there by his all-inclusive death.
Amen.
So this death was a great death.
Yeah.
It was a death that affected not just you and me, not just took my sins, but it's a death that was dealt with the entire, all the negative things that affected the entire old creation. But now here we're coming to the link to what we're covering in this chapter. That's why I'm going rather quickly on these first two sections. Is his all-inclusive death was accomplished through the eternal spirit.
Amen.
This eternal spirit, you can see there's two things here. One is the eternal spirit makes the effectiveness of Christ's death eternal. That means the entire span that was damaged by the fall is able to be embraced in its effectiveness by this spirit. On the other side of this, this eternal spirit could never be kept in the tomb, right? So on the one hand, it's an eternal spirit that makes the effectiveness, the Christ's death so effective, but this eternal spirit as such a one could never be held by death. And so he referred here on the one hand to it as the eternal spirit, and then he referred as the spirit of holiness, that Christ, this one who went to the cross, was designated the Son of God in power out of the Spirit of holiness. And here, a very interesting thing, he referred to holiness here as separation. And the way he likened it to this, if you have all your old, you know, old books and things, you know, and you consider these all the items of the old creation, you throw them in a trash can, they will stay there. But if you put a human being in the trash can, he'll jump out because he's living. You see what I'm saying? This spirit of separation, you know, went into death, but popped right back out of death, because it can't be held by death. So that means this spirit of separation is separate from all these 12 items that got stuck in the trash can. You might say all those things got dumped in the can, but something jumped out.
Amen.
And that was the eternal spirit, which is the spirit of separation, as he refers to here. And it was by him that Christ was resurrected. Okay? And we see it in the context of this chapter. Now, let's come to where the focus of this chapter is. The reality of resurrection is in the eternal spirit. Let's declare that. The reality of resurrection in the eternal spirit. Okay. So here is the marvelous context of this chapter. I just had to go over this again and again because it is so profound. It's amazing. But let's go through these points here, and maybe I'll pause as we go through. How about Sister Zay?
It is the spirit of resurrection who dwells in us. This means that the reality of resurrection and the principle of resurrection dwells in us.
Amen.
Okay, so in this spirit, there is there's the reality of resurrection, there's the principle of resurrection. And that has to do with what we're talking about, that separates us from all the things of the old creation that need to be terminated. We have this principle of resurrection within us. Okay, how about brothers B?
The principle of resurrection is a separation effected by this eternal spirit and is in the eternal spirit of separation.
Right. So surely this separates us from the old creation that we might be the new creation of God, right? Okay, Sister C.
Christ himself is this resurrection. Forget about time and space.
Amen.
Wherever Christ is and whenever Christ is, there is always resurrection.
Hallelujah.
And this was in italics in the chapter. So here, just to stress this point, John 11:25. The concept even of dear, the Lord's followers was, that resurrection, yes, I understand Lazarus will be raised from the dead on the last day. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, they became religious about it. The Lord said, no, that's not what I mean. I am resurrection.
Yeah.
Even if he hadn't gone to the cross yet, he was already resurrection.
Yeah.
So when resurrection is here, it's like, it's that there's that principle of resurrection. Whoop, pop out of the grave. So in this case, so it didn't matter. It seemingly, if it was before Christ was crucified, he was already resurrection, right? And wherever he was, resurrection came to your door.
Right.
I mean, came to your tomb. You're in the tomb, no problem. Resurrection's here. Come out. So this is the principle, the reality of resurrection. Now, what's the deal here is, yes, then the Lord went through death and resurrection. How about brothers D? On the day of his resurrection, Christ breathed into his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This eternal spirit is the principle and reality of resurrection. Okay, so then he comes on the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, comes to his disciples and he breathes into them. Says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he breathed into them. This spirit was the principle and reality of resurrection got into them. So, people are, unfortunately, at this time of year, people are thinking of resurrection as an event. They're thinking of it in an objective thing.
Yeah.
But we need to realize resurrection is in you.
Amen.
Right? Oh, resurrection got breathed into you, Vreg.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
The reality of resurrection is in you.
Amen.
That's right. Isn't this wonderful, Mark? The principle of resurrection is in you. There's something in you that can't be held by death.
Amen.
Can't be kept in those 12 items of the old creation. It jumps out. Because there's resurrection.
Amen.
Okay? Now, how does this apply? Okay, maybe E together. This resurrection within us is the spirit of Jesus, the bountiful, all-inclusive, all-sufficient supply of the spirit of Jesus is the power of his resurrection. So what does it look like? Here's Paul in a very not so good situation. I mean, a lot of us have not so good situation, but this was a really not good situation. In a Roman prison, I don't think it was that pleasant of accommodations. Anyway, this reality of resurrection was in Paul. He says, I know this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that in nothing I'll be put to shame, but in all things. Christ will be magnified in my body, through, whether through life or through death. Whether they feed me to the lions or what, it doesn't matter. Christ will be magnified. And he wasn't moping and groaning about it. He was there enjoying the principle and reality of resurrection that elevated him out of all the things of the old creation. And then he could say boldly, because this was his experience, to know him and the power of his resurrection. This was Paul's experience, so he could testify of it. So practically to us, what does this mean? The more we live and walk in this Spirit, who is the principle and reality of resurrection in us, the more we will realize the killing power that terminates in reality all these things, and this power the power of resurrection. What do we need to do? We simply need to take it by living faith.
Amen.
But I would say, in practicality, one thing from 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Lord Jesus or Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit of resurrection.
Amen.
In the reality of resurrection, right?
Amen.
So we take it by living faith. When we call on the Lord, we're in this Spirit. So I just appreciate from this, saints, that we have this Spirit of separation that separates us from all the things of the old creation. So we need to just realize this. See what is within us. Resurrection is within you, Daniel. You have resurrection in you. How about that? So now we need to enjoy and allow the principle of resurrection with the reality of resurrection to operate in our being.
Amen.
So we are beings in resurrection like our brother Paul, and the church is all together in resurrection,
Amen.
Right? Oh, the more we see this, the more we practice this, right? We apply it by living faith, the more resurrection will fill the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I think my share, I'll just stop here.